On this week's edition of Beyond the Back Page, Patrick Donoghue was joined by triathlete Gerra Redmond, who told us about his incredible life story and his journey from serving time in prison to becoming a professional triathlete. Gerra began by explaining how he started his remarkable journey into this discipline.
I started in 2017. I couldn't swim and pretty much never even. I just knew of triathlons, you know. I never sort of seen myself ever doing them, but I just took them up just to sort of change my life.
Yeah, and what was the hardest? Was it the swimming that was the hardest of the disciplines?
Yeah, well, I couldn't swim, so the first time I went down to the pool, I couldn't even do one length.
Yeah.
I think I managed a half a length, and I held my breath for the whole half.
Yeah.
So, that was the most difficult, but the most challenging one, and the most rewarding then, obviously, when you do succeed what you're actually set out to do, you know.
And I mentioned you've an inspiring life story. I might ask you a few things about that later on, but just going back to the start as a young lad, were you sports mad?
Sports was always in my life. I always found it as a good outlet. Hadn't got a great upbringing, so there was a lot of negative things back in the house and in my life in general. And when I played sport, I sort of it was like an outlet for me. You know, nearly like a counselling session without even realising. And I found I got fairly good at it. I was very good at soccer. I took up boxing. I was very good at boxing. Gaelic, again, I was good. Any sport I sort of took up, I was always, a fairly decent player. One of the best players probably on the pitch, most of the time. I was always very competitive, I suppose.
Yeah, and the soccer seems to be one that you were particularly good at, so much so that you got to move over to Scotland to try your hand at playing professional football over there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was playing here local in Coolock with a team called St. Columbans. And I was about, I think, 15 or 16 at the time. And I was really good. I was a decent player, without blowing smoke up. Really like doing that. But yeah, to be fair, I was half decent. And I was playing for the NDSL team, the Dublin team, and I was down in the Mill Cup, and I was in Kennedy Cup, which is a big prestigious cup in Limerick, and I'd done all that, and scouts were always sort of touching and going with me, and I was hearing this and that, but nothing ever materialised. And then one time I think one of the coaches actually off Columbans, he had a link with Dunfermline,
right,
and they come over, I think they come over to watch me, and I played really well, and they invited me over for a trial. And when I went over the trial, I got off the plane going for this trial, and I remember the under 16s were playing Falkirk, and I went over, and they asked if I got my boots, and I was like, fucking sure I have my boots. And I actually put the gear on, warmed up, and I remember they were losing 3-1, and they took me off the bench and put me on, and I scored 2 goals and laid up the winner.
Debut
trial, it was a dream start. And I dreamt as a kid, I always dreamt of being a professional footballer, and here I am with the best start you can ask for as a trialist. And then pretty much after that, then I was signed up as a YTS, which is youth training scholarship type thing, nearly like an apprenticeship, I suppose. And I settled in, lived over there over a pub in an annex, as a 16-year-old, and I was going to work as a soccer player.
Living the dream.
So I still remember that, you know. So that was good days, good memories.
Yeah, and your life took a turn. Then you moved back home. Can you tell us a little bit about the circumstances that made you return to Ireland?
Yeah, so as I said, I was over there living my dream, and back at home, my father had committed a crime, and that caused a lot of trouble. And that brought me home then to see how the kids were. We had 5 brothers and sisters and my mother. And when I come home, things weren't good, and I couldn't pursue my dream anymore. I had to become the man of the house, and I made that decision without even thinking about it. And then it led me down the wrong road in life, and got me into criminal gang, put food on the table, and got protection, and things went really, really bad for about 15 to 16 years probably. I lost all my confidence, no self-belief, very anxious, head down all the time. When you look at me, you think something wrong with him, you know, he never says hello. And, you know, that's just me. I was sort of ashamed of what had happened and went into myself a lot, you know. And I couldn't play football the way I used to, which killed me even
that
more.
Was gone.
That killed me, like, because I loved football.
Yeah.
I lived for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that I couldn't actually play the way I wanted to play, it drove me into depression.
Yeah, and I'd imagine you were angry as well, like, you know, back then.
Yeah, so I lashed out, like, all my life. I'm only now I'm starting to love and hug and, you know.
Yeah.
Most of my life I'd lashed out because of a lot of resentment over what happened. Yeah. Losing me dream to be a soccer player due to a bad generation. And blaming everyone else, which, look, it wasn't my fault. But at the end of the day, you can't continue to blame everyone. Only you can, at the ruler of your life. And if you don't change and you continue to blame people, you're going to have resentment. And you're not going to live your life to the fullest, you know.
And unfortunately, it led to you serving some time in prison. Can you tell us a little bit what happened and just tell us about prison life? How tough was it to serve some time in prison?
So in 2014, there was drugs found in the house and I went to court anyway and pleaded guilty to it. Got a 3-year suspended. Pretty much like that night then, the guards found drugs on me. They chased me, actually, I thrown it away and they put it in my pocket, but that's not a big deal, like, to be honest with you. At the time I was pissed off and I was slagging the guards and calling them scumbags, but now I have a total different mindset on that. Like, to be honest with you, that added to where I am now, and if they hadn't caught me, put me in prison, my life would be different today. So in a sense I'm grateful for that. It might sound weird to some people, but it has added to my journey. I mean, if I hadn't went to prison, my whole life would have been different, because that showed me who was there for me. It showed me, you know, that I don't want to go to prison, that I don't want my kids to see me in prison, you know. So it showed me a lot of things and a big life lesson, I suppose. Like, prison isn't, to be honest, like, look, I can tell you and pick myself up and say, oh, prison is hard and you have to be this and that. Yeah, look, you go in, you get your head down, don't take drugs, go to the gym, educate yourself, keep yourself busy. Use your time without messing up. And because if you take drugs, you're going to get weak.
The
mind is very hard. Like, even now when I'm an athlete that trains 3-4 hours a day, even now my mind sometimes plays tricks and you get weak and you have bad days. Imagine adding drugs to that and being in prison.
You know,
so prison and drugs doesn't mix. So if you go in there, get your head down, do your time and keep yourself, it'll go, you know, and it's not as bad as you think. I went into robot mode. I went in and I said, I'm not going to do drugs. I'm going to educate myself. I'm not going to get involved with anyone. I'm going to get in here, get out as quick as I can. That's what I done.
And what gave it, like, just talking to you, even just the few minutes we've talked and the couple of minutes I was talking to you beforehand, just incredibly inspiring. Where did this strength of character, where did this clarity come from, you know, to say, listen, I have to change my life around when I get out of prison? Where did you get that strength of character to kind of say, listen, I'm going to become really, really pursue sports? What do you think gave you that strength?
Look, I have five kids now. I had four girls at the time I was in prison. I never liked what I was doing, that's being honest. I never was proud of it. I just felt caught in a trap, to be honest. I was led down that road and I was caught in a trap. And when you're around mediocre people who are talking about what you're doing, and things become normal. And, you know, it's really hard to get out of that frame of mind. You have to change your circle, first of all. But I suppose when I had my son was coming, and to be honest, I never respected my father. I never looked up to him. He didn't inspire me. And I remember my son was due at the end of 2016. And I just couldn't have my son look at me in the same way I look at my father. Something went out of my head. And I was like, there's no way my son's going to look at me like that. My son's going to respect me. He's going to think I'm his hero. He's going to look up to me and go, that's what a man is. And I suppose what you need to do as a man and as a father is to show your son the right road in life without actually telling them, show them. So I said, I'm gonna show them. So I went to watch an Ironman. An Ironman is a 3.8 swim, right. 180k on the bike,
yeah.
and a full marathon.
Mm.
Went to watch one, a friend of mine was doing it, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll have a look at doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to change my life. Yeah. Just that's all I wanted, was a different perspective on life, some goal to chase, and I also wanted to prove to the community and to my family that I've changed. If I've done this, such a big thing, like an Ironman, which is massive, surely they'd say, well, look, he's turned his life around.
Our thanks to Patrick Donoghue and, of course, to Ger Redmond for that piece.